You bear that? Well, shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you open our eyes. We can see the wonderful thing, not only written in your law, but also in your gospel. Because this kind of stuff is hidden long time ago, but now has been revealed in front of us. And help us to understand your will, and help us to be able to put what we learn into practice so that we be truly blessed all the days of our life, and we be encouraged to continue to serve you and to serve you faithfully until we see you face to face. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Apostle, what does it mean by apostle? Apostle means sent by Jesus Christ, and is the one that who has seen the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The definition of apostle is written in Acts chapter 1. Jesus Christ himself is also called apostle. Would you please turn to Hebrew chapter 3. Hebrew chapter 3. Therefore, holy brother, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. We confess that Jesus Christ is the apostle, the only apostle. I want you to write that down. What are the definition of the apostle? The apostle is apostle of Jesus Christ, is the one that who has seen the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot call yourself an apostle if you have never seen the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. As it is written in book of Acts chapter 1, verse 22. Beginning from John, I read it beginning in verse 21 there. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who has been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. In order to be an apostle, you have to be able to see our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So, when Paul said that, Paul called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, that means Paul is the one who has seen the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. If you have never seen the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, you can never call yourself an apostle. The name of this church is called Apostolic Bible Church. It doesn't mean that we have seen Jesus Christ, but it means that we follow the teaching of the apostle and we follow the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. So none of us in this church call themselves the apostle or an apostle. Where is in Hebrew chapter 3, verse 1, Jesus Christ was called to be the apostle. So the apostle of what? You write that down. The apostle of God. And why, Pastor John, why are you saying what you say? The reason is you write down Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Paul has seen Jesus, so that's why he can make known Jesus Christ to us. Jesus Christ has seen God, because he is at the right hand of God before he comes down. And he can make known to us who God the Father is. So, Jesus Christ is the apostle of God. And Paul is an apostle, one of the apostles. But Jesus Christ is the apostle, the only apostle of God. Do you see a difference? Okay. Now, if people are asking you regarding the name of our church, you know how to explain. Don't ever call yourself the apostle. And when did Paul see the resurrected Lord? It's in Acts chapter 9. Okay? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And our brother, Sosthenes. What is the reason why Paul mentioned this fellow, Sosthenes? If you don't read the book of Acts, chapter 18, you don't know who this fellow is. It's only mentioned in the Bible, as far as I can recall, only twice. One in Acts chapter 18, verse 17. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is the second time he mentioned that. So who is this fellow? This fellow is a synagogue ruler. He used to be serving in the synagogue in Corinth because he hear the preaching and teaching of an apostle of Christ named Paul. He learned the Bible from Paul, and he was converted to become Jesus' follower. And what happened? When Paul was dragged into the court because of his preaching, and then the people beat him up. So I want to read that to you so that you get a background. Acts chapter 18. Brother and sister, I say that one more time. If you want to have a better understanding of the scripture, you have to have the habit to read the Bible chapter by chapter. You don't jump. When you jump, you won't understand what the Bible tried to say. Acts chapter 18, verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who has recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius has ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, Paul reasoned in the synagogue in Corinth, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy, they are the co-workers of Paul, when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia and to meet Paul in Corinth, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Paul did not do it until his co-worker Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia to Corinth. Then Paul don't waste any more time, because even though when he get beat up, at least he get two of his friends to help him out. Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. I want you to write that down. Anyone who testified Jesus was the Christ, you write down Gospel of John chapter 9 verse 22, you will be kicked out of the synagogue. You are not supposed to preach about Jesus is the Christ in any Jewish synagogue. Okay? Anyone dare to do that will be kicked out. Okay? So that's why he didn't do it until Silas and Timothy came to him. In verse 6, but when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, Paul shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own head. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue. Ever since that incident, Paul left the synagogue in Corinth. Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titus and Justus, a worshiper of God. Verse 8, Crispus, the synagogue ruler, right beside 18, verse 8, I want you to write down 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. I'm not talking about that. I just read that verse, chapter 1, verse 14, 1 Corinthians. I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. Crispus is Acts chapter 18, verse 8. Crispus is also the synagogue ruler too, okay? And Paul remembered that he baptized him because he is the synagogue ruler. He was converted to be Jesus' follower. Gaius, who is Gaius? Right beside Gaius, you write down Romans chapter 16, verse 23. Whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, send you his greeting, his co-worker of Paul. And Paul led them to Christ in the synagogue in Corinth. Okay? Now we go back. Acts chapter 18, verse 8. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord because of the teaching and preaching of Paul in the synagogue in Corinth. Okay? He and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinth who heard him believed and were baptized too. Okay? Verse 9. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city of Corinth." So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. He's supposed to leave that place because he was treated badly, and they became abusive to him and opposed him. He said, "That is it. No more preaching and teaching." He's about to pack and go. But Jesus tells him to stay behind. He obeyed Jesus' teaching. Verse 12. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia. Achaia is the province. Corinth is the city. Just like Alberta and Edmonton. Okay? Gallio was proconsul of Achaia. The Jews make a united attack on Paul and brought Paul into a court. They not only become abusive to him and take him to the court, want to send him to prison. You know how abusive it is. You know, that's why he said, "That is it. No more preaching." You know? If you being abusive to your pastor, you know what happened? He's going to go. Okay? Unless the Lord Jesus says, "Stay behind." Don't be abusive to the one who saved your life. Okay? And then they make a united attack on Paul and brought Paul into court. And this man, they charge, is persuading the people to worship God in way contrary to the law. That is wrong. Paul persuade people to worship God in truth and in spirit, according both the Old Testament and New Testament. Unfortunately, they don't understand the law. Because the law is leading us to Jesus Christ. He didn't know that, okay? Verse 14, just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to the Jews, "If you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves question about word and name and your own law, settle the matter yourself. I will not be a judge of such things. So he has them ejected from the court. Then they all turn to Sodina. Circle the word Sodina. You write down 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. They cannot attack Paul, then they attack Sodinus, the synagogue ruler. There are two synagogue rulers. One is Crispus, verse 8, another one is verse 17. When you become the believer of our Lord Jesus Christ in the synagogue, you'll be kicked out. You lost your job. So who lost the job first? Crispus lost the job first. And then Sodinus was hired as a synagogue ruler. Synagogue ruler is the one who controls who can come to the synagogue to preach. And he allowed Paul to preach, and then he become a follower too. Oh, this time he got beat up, okay? Because I think the Jews said, you should learn the matter, man. If I kick out the Crispus, he lost the job, and I give you the job to be the synagogue ruler in Corinth, and you're still being converted by Paul, I'm going to beat you up, okay? The Jewish people are like that. Then they all turn to Sodinus, the synagogue ruler, and beat him in front of the court. But Gallio showed no concern whatsoever. If you take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul did not mention that he write this letter with Sodinus. He said, I write this letter together with my brother Timothy. So in other words, Sodina, because of his beating up, because of his suffering for preaching the gospel, because of his belief in our Lord Jesus Christ, he get beat up. His name was remembered. Brother and sister, suffer for Jesus is worth it. You can live your own life. You're not going anywhere. Okay? This guy, I don't know him, but because in the book of Acts, chapter 18, Dr. Luke recorded what happened to him. Now we all know him. Sodinus, right? Only mentioned twice in the New Testament. And I believe, because he suffered for Jesus, he's going to receive glory with our Lord Jesus Christ. He has the honor to be able to write this book, 1 Corinthians, together with Paul, Apostle Paul. Okay? This letter was written to three kind of people. First, to the church of God in Corinth. In other words, this letter wasn't written to the synagogue in Corinth. Because they kicked them out, there's no point to write a letter to them because they won't believe in it. So I want you to write that down. This letter was written to the church of God in Corinth. So, who are they? I want you to write that down. Church of God in Corinth. You write down the Church of God in Corinth. You write down, there's two kinds of people in the Church of God. Number one, they sanctify. They sanctify in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Secondly, they are called to be holy. And thirdly, this letter was written to all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So this letter was written to the Apostolic Bible Church. Every Wednesday, we come here, gather together in Jesus' name. We cry out to God, the Father, to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this letter was written to us. And I know that not only written to the Apostolic Bible Church, to any church who believe in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to write that down. Right beside verse 2, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, right beside call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you write down 1:9. How did Paul describe Jesus? He described Jesus, say, is God's son. Jesus is God's son, in verse 9. Jesus is the Christ. Who is Jesus? Jesus is our Lord. And Jesus is your Lord too. Okay? So, in other words, this letter was written to all believers. You write that down. Believe in what? Believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's loaded with words. If I break it down, what Jesus preaching, Paul's preaching, is exactly of what Apostle John is preaching. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, God command to all believers is to believe, number one, and to love. To believe in what? To believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. You have to believe in that in order to be saved. After you are saved, then to love one another as the Lord commands you. And this is what Paul is preaching. What Paul is preaching is same as what Apostle John is preaching. This is God's command. Okay? Now, so I say this letter is written to the church of God. Who are the church of God? You have to be sanctified in Christ Jesus. How can I be sanctified? You write that down. Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 1. I read that to you. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cut off every branch in me that bear no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. What are the words? If you are one of the branch of the vine, and if you are not bearing fruit, He will cut you off. But if you bear fruit, He will prune you so that you bear more fruit. Okay? When you hear that, you are sanctified. When you obey, you follow this instruction, you are sanctified in Christ Jesus. This is the New Testament teaching. What about the Old Testament teaching? Psalm 119, verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. We found out that we claim ourselves to be the branch. We claim that Jesus Christ is the true vine. We claim that we are linked together with Him. We are in union with Him. And yet, if we don't bear fruit, He says He's going to cut you off. Okay? But if you bear fruit, He's going to prune you so that you are more fruitful. That means Jesus wants His follower to be more fruitful. Just bearing fruit is not good enough. He wants you to be fruitful. If you obey His word, you are sanctified in Christ Jesus. All right? So this letter was written to this kind of people. And second, called to be holy. We are wicked. We all know that we are wicked. But Jesus said, I call you holy. Because I cleanse you with my blood. I cleanse you with my word. Because you live according to my word, you are sanctified. So I call you holy. I call you holy now. You are saved. Because our belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. Three things can make us holy. Number one, Jesus' blood. Number two, Jesus' word. Number three, Jesus' spirit, the Holy Spirit. His blood, his word, and his spirit can make us holy. No other way. That's the only way you can be holy. Okay? I don't know whether you remember in the Old Testament teaching, the most high priest once a year enter the most holy place. The high priest dare not enter the most holy place by his own way. He has to be washed thoroughly with his hand and his feet with the water. Water is the word of God. And he has to be anointed with oil. That's the Holy Spirit. And he has to have blood in his hand, cleanse him, and then and in his ear and also in his toes before he can enter. When he enter as a holy high priest. He won't be struck down. Brother and sister, this letter was written to the people who are called to be holy. And thirdly, this letter was written to those who pray to God all the time. You pray to God, you better read this letter. Because you get close to God, you better read this letter. Okay? Oh, okay, one more thing. Because of the prayer, I add one more thing. You can be holy. Number four. You follow Jesus' instruction by praying to him. Okay? You say, Pastor John, how can you be holy by praying to him? You write down 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. The Lord is righteous, the Lord is faithful. When I confess my sin, the Lord is faithful and just and righteous. He will forgive us all our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's how we become holy, by praying to God. So we should pray to God daily, cleansed by the blood, is one time. Because he sprinkled his blood into you and make a new covenant with you. It's one time. But we are cleansed by prayer. Praying to God is daily. It's numerous times. Cleansed by the word of God is numerous times when we read the Bible. And cleansed by the Holy Spirit is numerous times. Okay? Only the blood is one time. We ask the Holy Spirit to anoint us, to fill us, and we are cleansed daily. Okay, keep going. Before Paul preached to the synagogue in Corinth, and that synagogue is a synagogue of Satan. I want you to write that down. F. Chapter 18, 1 to 17, you write that down. These are synagogue of Satan. You say, Pastor John, how do you know this is synagogue of Satan? I give you a proof. Two proofs. Number one, Revelation 2:9. Jesus said, this church is the Jewish people over there. They call themselves Jews. They are not the Jews. They are, who are they? They are slanderers. Proof number two. Revelation 3:9. They call themselves Jews. Jesus Christ said, they're not Jews. They're not true Jews. They're synagogue of Satan. They are liar. Right beside liar. What do they lie? They lie about Jesus. First John chapter 2, verse 22 to 23. Anyone who denies Jesus is the Christ, he's a liar. He's antichrist. If you do not believe in Jesus is the Christ, you are a liar, you are antichrist, you will go to hell. Go to 3:9 first, okay? You gotta talk about liar. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are a liar. What do they lie? You write that down right beside here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22 to 23. Who do they lie? They lie about Jesus. They say Jesus is not the Christ. But Paul preached that. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus not only the Christ, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is our Lord. But they don't claim Jesus is Lord. They are liar. They are antichrist. They oppose Jesus. Okay? So they are liar. Okay? Who is the liar? It is the man who denied Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the antichrist. He denied the Father and the Son. Verse 23, no one who denied the Son has the Father. In other words, if you say, oh, I go to synagogue, and I worship God, the Yahweh, the Lord, in the Old Testament Lord. And Jesus say through the apostle teaching, Apostle John teaching, you are not worshiping God. You don't know God. You claim yourself Jews. If you are true Jews, you believe God through Jesus Christ. Such a man is an antichrist because he denied the Son. Anyone who denied the Son, he denied the Father too. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So that's why Jesus say, this synagogue is a synagogue of Satan. What about 2:9? 2:9 is a slanderer. I want you to write that down. Right beside slanderer, you write down Gospel of John. Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 41. You are doing the thing your own father does. That's what the Pharisee accusing Jesus. You are doing the thing that's what Jesus said. You are doing the thing your own father does. And then how do they reply? The Pharisee, we are, or the Jews, okay, or the synagogue of Satan, we are not illegitimate children. We are not illegitimate children. They protested. The only father we have is God himself, because the Jewish people has heard about Jesus. Oh, you say, wow, your mother is a Virgin Mary, and she gives birth to you. And they say, we are not illegitimate. You are illegitimate. Okay? Verse 48, that's how they accuse Jesus. The Jews answer Jesus, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan? What is Samaritan? Samaritan is the Jews, is a mixed marriage with a Gentile. That's what it means, Samaritan. You are mixed blood. I don't know where you come from. Okay? You are from illegitimate. Okay? They accuse Jesus like that. They don't believe Mary is the Virgin Mary. They don't believe that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Okay? They oppose Jesus. They slander Jesus. They lie to Jesus. Okay? They are synagogue of Satan. And then they say, aren't we right in saying that you are demon-possessed? No, he's not demon-possessed. 3:34, he is so filled with the Holy Spirit. He sent from God. Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit without limit. But yet they say, you are demon-possessed. You are filled with the evil spirit. Slanderer. Anyone who slanders Jesus is synagogue of Satan. But I want to tell you one thing. This letter wasn't written to them because they won't believe it. But this letter was written to the church of God. Brother and sister, listen to me carefully. Anyone who are baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and follow Paul and establish that church, they don't go back to the synagogue anymore. Everybody say? Everybody say? They don't go back anymore. You understand? They keep on going to the right way. But do they have relatives still in the synagogue? You bet. Do they want to drag you back to the synagogue of Satan? You bet. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's why there's division in the church. Next week, I'm talking about. All right? You get this kind of background. You have a better understanding. 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. What Paul is going through. And then he says in verse 3, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever the Bible says grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a very popular verse, especially from Paul, throughout all his writing. Now I want to check him out. Is he a people pleaser? Or is he please God? He says grace and peace to you. But if you just write grace and peace to you, take it out of context, you say, wow, whoever read that, you get grace and peace to you. No, not necessary. Did I mention in verse, before you read verse 3, should you read verse 2 first? Who are the recipient? They are sanctified in Christ Jesus. They are called holy. They are not in the synagogue of Satan anymore. They don't oppose Jesus. They don't lie about Jesus. They talk to people who Jesus Christ is. He's the Son of God. He's our Lord. He's your Lord. If you claim Jesus Christ to be your Lord, then this letter was written to you. If this letter was written to you, then you have grace, you have peace from God the Father and God the Son. Because a lot of people, you say nice things like that. Oh, grace to you and peace to you. Listen to me carefully. I want you to write that down right beside peace. You write down Jeremiah chapter 23, Jeremiah chapter 23, 16 to 17. You know what? In those days, there's a lot of false prophets. In today's day, there's a lot of false teachers, according to the teaching of Jude, according to the teaching of 2 Peter. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 2. There's a lot of false teachers, false pastors, even within the church too. They all say, grace and peace to you, brother and sister. God say to Jeremiah, and ask him to write that down. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16 to 17. He said, this is what the Lord Almighty said. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesizing to you. They fill you with false hope. They speak vision from their own mind, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise Jesus, who despise God, and what did they say? The Lord say, you will have peace. I want you to write that down. If you despise God, you despise His word, you despise His teaching, you despise God and God going to despise you, you will not have peace. As it is written in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22, the Lord said to the wicked, you have no peace. And then Isaiah 57, verse 21, God said to the wicked, you will have no peace. You despise God, you are wicked. You hear His teaching, you ignore His teaching as if He didn't teach you. You despise Him, He's going to despise you. Eli is the prophet, Eli is the priest. He honored his two children, his two sons, more than he honored God, and God despised him. Take away the job from him. You don't despise God, man. You honor him. Whatever he says, you listen. You listen carefully. When you despise him, anyone say to you, oh, even though you despise him, peace to you. He gives you false hope, man. Don't listen to him. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. To you that you is what? Sanctified in Christ Jesus. You are called to be holy. And everywhere who pray by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledge Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is my Lord, is your Lord, and I am serving Jesus. You have peace and you have grace. Everybody say, don't just take the thing out of context, say, oh, grace and peace to you. No, you have no grace, you have no peace. You understand? Isaiah 48, another prophet say, there's no peace, said the Lord, for the wicked. Not only the Lord said that. Isaiah 57, verse 21, God said the same thing. God the Father say that, you have no peace. God the Son say that, you have no peace if you're wicked, if you despise it. And then the fourth prophet in verse 17, Jeremiah 23, 17. The fourth prophet saying to the rebellious people, oh, calamity will not fall upon you. You've got to be kidding. God's wrath is going to come upon you. You understand what I'm trying to say? Don't just take the Bible out of context and say whatever you like to say. I check him out. He's not a people pleaser. He say, if you are called to be holy, if you are sanctified by Jesus Christ, if you pray to God all the time, and cleanse yourself, confess your sin, I guarantee you have grace, you have what? You have peace. Don't you like to hear that? They keep saying to those who despise God, the Lord say you will have peace. And to those who follow the stubbornness of their own heart, they say, no harm will come to you. You have all kinds of blessing. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't do that, man. Okay? Now go to verse 4. I always thank God for you. I want to circle the word for you. Because a lot of people, when they receive grace, they don't know that they thank God. They don't give thanks to God. They say, I'm smart. That's why I get grace. I get all this kind of blessing. And Paul say that, I thank God for you because you don't know that. Okay? I always thank God for you because of God's grace given you in Christ Jesus. Before you are in the synagogue of Satan, now you are in the church of God. Before you oppose Jesus, now you believe in Jesus. Before you serve yourself, now you serve Jesus Christ. And God give you grace in Christ Jesus because you believe in Jesus Christ. So that's why God give you grace. In verse 5, for in Christ Jesus, you have been enriched in every way. Then Paul just pick out two illustrations. You have been enriched in all your speaking. Secondly, you have been enriched in all your knowledge. How come this church has been enriched in all his knowledge? Because numerous good pastors going to that church. Apollos going to that church. You see that in Acts chapter 18 and 19, Paul go to that church, but Paul is the one who sowed the seed. Apollo is the one who watered the plant. One is to lead them to Christ, sow the seed. The other is to help it to grow, water, have Bible study with them. Okay? And also Peter went to that church too. So a lot of good pastors going to this church. So they have been enriched in every way, not just in material blessing. This church is a very rich church. Okay? And also in spiritual blessing, in all your speaking. You know what? These are the only church The church in Corinth, they speak in tongue. And Paul said to them, you know what? Don't be proud. As far as speaking tongue is concerned, I speak more tongue than you, but I don't speak tongue in the church. Unless someone interprets. Because Paul don't want to waste the time. Because Paul speaking Greek fluently, and they all understand Greek. So Paul didn't need to speak tongue. But all those people, they speak tongue, and then they think that they are leader, and cause the church to be divided. Okay? So that's why a lot of people speaking tongue in the church of Corinth. Okay? And they have all kind of knowledge, because they have all kind of different pastors coming to that church. Unfortunately, because of that, and they divided the church. Verse 6. Because our testimony is including who are they? Our mean other than Apollos, other than Peter, other than Paul, you included Timothy and Silas in Acts chapter 18. Because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. In other words, what this really means is when you believe Jesus is the Christ, and when you follow Jesus and start serving Jesus, and then you get all this kind of grace and blessing. Because of that, Paul say, I always thank God for you. Brother and sister, remember, whenever you receive gifts from God, whenever you receive God's grace, make sure you thank Him. Anyone who offer a thanksgiving offering to God is the one who honor God. Honor God is the opposite of despise God. When God gives you grace, you spend in your own way, He's going to discipline you. You spend it in God's way, He's going to bless you even more. Do not despise His teaching. Because if you despise Him, you will have no peace. But if you honor Him, you will have peace. I want you to turn to Psalm 50, verse 23. Anyone who offer a thanksgiving offering to God is the one who honor God. Anyone who honor God, you do the right thing. God say, I prepare a way so that I will show my salvation to you. I give you more blessing. I deliver you more often. Because if I help you, you say, thank you. Don't you know that when you're at home, your mother gave you something that's so delicious, your mother say what? Say thank you, right? Did you learn that? I say, did you learn that? Did Daniel say thank you? Sometimes, see? That's it, you know? I catch you. Yesterday, I heard that you have a birthday. Did you pay for the birthday dinner? Who paid for that? Your mom? Not just your mom. Your parents. Don't you know how to say that? Your mom? It's not just her. Did you say thank you to both? I don't think so. When you see your daddy, you better say to him, thank you, daddy, give a big hug, okay? I want you to do that. I want you to learn that, okay? I always give thanks for you because you receive God's grace. My birthday, I don't even have a birthday dinner. And you have birthday dinner, 你就老鳳了. But he is young鳳. I always thank God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. Because you believe in Jesus Christ, God give you more grace. And for in Him, you have been enriched in every way, materially and spiritually, in all your speaking, in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. It's all because you believe in Jesus. You haven't done anything. You get all this kind of grace. When you get all this kind of grace, you just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And in verse 7, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gifts, as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. I want to explain to you this word very carefully. How do we wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed? This is wait for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who eager wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed is the one who has been serving God and serving God faithfully. I want you to write that down. Just like 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. They tell how you turn to God from idol. But in the church of Corinth, they tell how you turn to God from what? From Satan. From liar. From slanderer. They tell how you turn to God from idol. And then once you turn to God, you start serving God, serving the living and true God. As you serve, you wait eagerly, earnestly for His Son from heaven, whom God raised from the dead. Who is He? His Son is called Jesus, the Christ. Jesus Christ will rescue us from the coming wrath. What's the coming wrath? He take you up, and so that you can attend the wedding supper of the Lamb, spare you from the 7 years of tribulation. You write that down. Coming wrath is the 7 years of tribulation. Anyone who eagerly wait for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ will take him up and clothe with righteousness, fine linen, bright linen, clean linen, is the wedding garment to attend the wedding supper of the Lamb. Is the one who eager wait for our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to write that down. What does it mean by eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ? Eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ, that means eagerly wait for the redemption of your body, the adoption of sonship. You write down Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Romans 8, 23. Not only so, but we ourselves who has been the first fruit of the Spirit, grown inwardly, and we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. The moment when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are called Son of God, children of God. And yet we still die. We're waiting for the redemption of our body. We won't die anymore. We have a resurrection body, a new body. So that's what I mean by adoption as son, the redemption of our body. First of all, we have redemption of our Holy Spirit. Redemption of our spirit first, redemption of our soul, and later on, we have redemption of our body. I also want you to write that down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 to 25. May the God of peace, may God Himself sanctify you through and through. Sanctify you thoroughly, completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul not only mentioned about his second coming in 1 Corinthians, he mentioned his second coming in 1 Corinthians numerous times. When he come back the second time, we will be spared from God's wrath. We won't go through 7 years of tribulation. When He comes back the second time, I have the redemption of my body because I have already had the redemption of my spirit and soul. Now I have redemption of my body. God is faithful. He will do that. Verse 24, the one who called you is faithful. He will do it. You just say, Lord, keep me blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. make sure that when I write the final exam, make sure that I pass it. That's what it really means. I say that one more time. Waiting for his second coming. What does it really mean, waiting for his second coming? Waiting for his second coming, that means how Paul received the crown of righteousness. Those who eagerly waiting for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ will receive the crown of righteousness too, as it is recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. Write that down. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure, for me to die. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. On what day? On the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only give the crown of righteousness to me, but also to all who long for his appearance. Long for his appearance means eagerly wait for his second coming. Brother and sister, what did I say? Are you eagerly waiting for his second coming? You know what? When I was studying at university, I always wait for the final exam because I work so hard. I want to see what kind of reward I get. I'm looking forward to the final exam. You know what? My classmate, every Friday, every Saturday, they get drunk. When the final exam comes, they fear and trembling. They come, they knock on my door and ask me to give him the class notes so that they can review for exam. I say to that guy, say, I wish you be a salesman. Don't be an engineer, because you do not know how to be an engineer. You understand what I'm trying to say? Don't wait until the last day you prepare for the exam. How do we prepare for the final exam? You start reading it. You start doing what your professor asks you to do. In the same way, how do we prepare for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Keep serving him. Just like what is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Turn to God from idol, turn to Jesus Christ from Antichrist, turn from Satan to God, to the living God, and start serving him right away. Don't wait, don't procrastinate. Do it now. The earlier you do it, then you can eagerly wait for his appearance. Brother and sister, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21, we are citizens from heaven. We eagerly wait for his appearance second time. You know what happened when he appeared? Jesus Christ is going to use his mighty power to transform our lowly body into a glorious body just like Jesus Christ. We will not die anymore. No more weeping, no more sinning. That's why we're waiting for that day. It's a blessed day. Okay? Eagerly waiting for his second coming, that means he has room for me already. He prepared room for me. No mortgage. That's a good thing. No mortgage. No monthly payment, Moses. Do you hear me? No monthly payment. Okay? Mortgage free. My goal is to prepare a place for you. When I finish preparing the place for you, I will come back to take you there. Where I am, you'll be with me. That's good stuff. I'm looking forward to that day. Okay? So, how do we prepare? Use the spiritual gift that Jesus gave it to you. Use the talent he gave it to you. If he give you 5 talents, you multiply to 5. If he give you 2, you multiply to 2. If he give you 1, you multiply 1. Then when you see him face to face, he's going to call you good and faithful servant. You are useful servant. And he's going to reward you according to what you have done. And then the Bible says, verse 8, he will keep you strong. He will keep you firm, in ASB translation. He will keep you strong and keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. make sure you are blameless. You know who are shameful? The Lord tell you to prepare, you don't prepare, you are shameful servant. You are useless servant. When you do your own thing, you don't do God's word, you don't serve God, you are shameful. And you will regret. Okay? At His second coming. And then verse 9, God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. God is faithful. What do you mean by God is faithful? Whenever God say God is faithful, that means He wants you to do what He say, and then He do what He promised you. I want you to write that down. What did He call us to do? He called us to serve Him. He not only called us to serve Him using the spiritual gift that He gave it to you, according to the grace that He has given it to you. Just like Deuteronomy chapter 16:16-17, you offer yourself to God, you offer sacrifice to God according to the blessing He given you. If He give you no blessing, don't give it to Him. Because Paul said that we cannot give what we don't have. You only give what He given it to you. Okay? According to the blessing He blessed you. That's how you serve. Listen to me carefully in conclusion. God is faithful as long as you have fellowship with Jesus Christ. What does it mean by have fellowship with Jesus Christ? That means you walk with Jesus where He is, where you are. When you have fellowship with your friend, whatever your friend do, you do, right? That's why Jesus said, I tell you the truth. What I have been doing, the one who has faith in me will do, and do greater thing than this, because I went to the Father and pray for you. So, to have fellowship with Jesus, talk to Him, go with Him, pray to Him, and listen to Him, establish a good relationship. All right? When you have a good fellowship with Jesus Christ, for sure you can serve God with grace. Grace upon grace. When you serve God, He's going to encourage you to keep on serving. He give you more blessing. More than what you ask of Him. Then you say, wow, this is from God. So I keep on doing it. And then you can say what Apostle John saying in Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 16, from the fullness of His grace, we all have received one blessing after another. The reason why He gives you a second blessing, so as to encourage you, to motivate you, propel you, keep on doing it. You did the right thing. That's why I honor you. My daughter, when a company gives you 8.5, don't be proud. That means He wants you to serve more and humble and train other people. When you train other people, that means He knows that you are a good manager and you get even more promotion. When you're being selfish, not teaching other people, you're not going anywhere because everybody is watching you. Brother and sister, circle the word. God has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. You write that down. 1 John chapter 15, entire chapter. I am the true vine, Jesus say. You are the branches. Our Heavenly Father is the gardener. Make sure you remain in Jesus. That means make sure that you have fellowship with Him. When you have fellowship with Him, you can not only bear fruit, you can bear more fruit. When you bear more fruit, you are truly My disciple. You honor Me, God say, I honor you more. 15:16. If your fruit that can last, whatever you pray in God's name, God say, here I am, I answer you. You being a sluggard and lazy, and you pray to God, God say, are you speaking? When I speak, you ignore Me. Are you speaking now? Do you understand, Wesley? Our Heavenly Father, help us to be wise, not to be foolish, Help us to be faithful in serving you. At the same time, wait for your second coming. Spare us from the wrath of 7 years of tribulation. Take us in the wedding supper of the Lamb. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.